morning, everyone. Who can come after the king? So I feel like I can't talk about Olam Hab anymore after we were zocha to hear from Rav Sav on the topic last week. But nevertheless, I thought it still might be a little bit helpful to perhaps be marchiv on some of the pratim, and then that might even give us a better havana of some of the things that he was getting at. So very briefly, as you all know, there are two mahalchim, generally speaking, of what Olam Haba means. The first mahalich we'll refer to as the Ramban. I think that's the mainstream mahalich. And then we'll talk about the Rambams. So let's begin with the Ramban. And we're going to look at a passage from Shar HaGmul, which you could see on page 8 of your source sheets. But essentially, I put this on the board, you have here the basic mahalich of the Ramban, which is that there are sort of three stages to history. We have Olam Hazeh, which is where we are now, and that obviously we have a guf plus neshama, and then we have Yemos HaMashiach, meaning to say this world, our current world, will continue into Yemos HaMashiach, so we hope, Ezras Hashem, very soon that the Mashiach will come. What about the Neshama, meaning to say after we die, so then the guf separates from the Neshama, and the process of the soul is, the Neshama goes to the Olam HaNeshamos, which is Gehenim, Gan Eden, and the like. And then finally there's Olam Haba, which is preceded by Tchias HaMesim, in which once again there's the Guf plus Neshama. So when we talk about Olam Haba, we're not talking about Gan Eden. They're two separate realms. Olam Haba is post Tchias HaMesim, it's Guf plus Neshama. When we talk about Gan Eden, that's part of the Olam HaNeshamos. When a person dies now, so their Guf and Neshama separate, and their Neshama goes to the Olam HaNeshamos. Hopefully it'll end up in Gan Eden. After history plays itself out, so there'll be Tchias HaMesim, and that will usher in the period of Olam Haba. That's the basic idea. Now we'll read it inside. So again, page 8. Schar HaNefashos V'kiyumam Ba'olam HaNeshamos Nikra L'Raboseinu Gan Eden. So the schar in the Olam HaNeshamos, like we said, is called by Chazal Gan Eden. That is where that exists nowadays. Upamim Korinoso Aliyah V'Yeshiva Shalmala V'Achrei Chein Yavo Yemei HaMashiach, meaning to say Achrei Chein, nowadays Gan Eden, Gehenim, and the like exist. The Olam HaNeshamos exist. Achrei Chein, Mashiach has not yet come. B'mheira V'Yameinu, the Mashiach will come. V'hu Mechlal Olam Hazeh. Yemos HaMashiach is part of Olam Hazeh. A lot of things will be better, B'Yemos HaMashiach. The Beis HaMikdash will be rebuilt. There'll be universal peace and acknowledgement of God and the like. But it's still fundamentally part of Olam Hazeh. Uvesofan, after a certain period of time, B'Yemos HaMashiach, we'll consider shortly how long that will be. But after a certain time, so then there will be the Yom HaDin, Yom HaDin HaGadol VaNora, that's referred to frequently in the prophets. Everybody will be judged, and that will end Tchias HaMesim, Shua Schar HaKolel HaGuf VaNefesh. That, Olam Haba, is the Schar HaKolel, meaning to say that the Schar in Gan Eden is exclusively for the Neshama, because after all, the Guf is buried, is decomposing, it's no longer existing. Whereas the schar ha-kolal, meaning to say the schar that's kolal, the guf, the ha-nefesh, so that will be lachar tchias ha-meisim. V'hu ha-ikar ha-gadol shu tikvas kol mikavel ha-kodesh baruch hu. What's the ikar? What's the great hope? It's actually Olam Haba. We'll talk about what the purpose of Gan Eden is, But that is not what the ultimate dream is. V'hu ha'olam haba shebo yashuv ha'guf kemo ha'nefesh. V'ha'nefesh tidabek b'das elyon ki dabka b'gan eden olam ha'neshamos. In other words, just like in the olam ha'neshamos, the nefesh has the capacity to cling to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, so that will take place even after the guf is restored in olam haba. V'tis'aleh b'hasaga gedola mimena. But not only will that continue in olam haba, but will increase in olam haba. So the understanding of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, the clinging to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, will be even greater in olam haba than it is in the olam neshamos, which of course is initially surprising, because one would have imagined that perhaps the guf would somehow inhibit the ability of the neshama to come close to God. No, the opposite. And then this final stage of Olam Haba is eternal as infinite. So as opposed to the first two stages, which are of limited duration, Olam Hazeh is only a certain amount of time, the Olam HaNeshamos only exists for a certain amount of time, Mashiach only exists for a certain amount of time, but Olam Haba will last forever. So, Bekitzer Nimratz, a number of important points come out from the Ramban. Number one is that Gan Eden is not the same as Olam Haba. Number two, like we said, when a person dies, his soul resides in the Olam HaNeshamos, including Gan Eden and Gehenim, which obviously we'll have to define. Number three, during Yemos HaMashiach is fundamentally part of Olam Hazeh. Number four, Olam Haba takes place after Tchias HaMeisim. We'll once again have a guf and a neshama, but as we'll see, it's an entirely spiritual existence. Number five, that Olam Haba and Gan Eden will provide extraordinary spiritual pleasures and opportunities, but the optimal experience is in Olam Haba. It's very interesting, as we said, sort of counterintuitive. The way the Ramban explains that a little later is that in Olam Haba, ki yagiu anshe ha'olam hahu lemalas Moshe Rabbeinu shenis ales nafsho al gufo ad shebitlu kochosav hagufaniyos v'haya milubash b'chol shah beruach hakodesh k'ilu ra'iso ri'yaso v'shmi'aso b'ein ha'nefesh bilvad lo b'mitzue ha'ayin hagufi. In other words, what advantage does Olam Haba have over the Olam HaNeshamos, over Gan Eden? The answer is that it's all of us. And here is where, and we'll develop this over today's shiur, but here is where the Ramban fundamentally differs from the Rambam. So whereas for the Rambam says, what possible need will there be for a guf in Olam Haba? The guf is something that's limiting with respect to spiritual attainment. And the Ramban says no, that al yedei the chibur between a nefesh and a guf will be able to achieve even greater spiritual madregos. However, the nature of that connection will be different than it is now. In our current form of existence, at least for most of us, maybe not Moshe Rabbeinu, but for most of us, there's a tension between the guf and the neshama. And in the Olam Haba, that tension will be overcome. Shenis ales nafsho al gufo. So the nefesh will totally be dominant over the guf, or be entirely expressed. There's a Gemara. The Gemara says that it compares the relationship between HaKadosh Baruch Hu and the world to the relationship between the neshama and the guf. Brachos Daf Yud. It says, Ma HaKadosh Baruch Hu melo kol ha'olam, af neshama melea kol ha'guf. And the Mefarshim understand that means l'asid lavo, meaning to say that just like HaKadosh Baruch Hu, there's not a nekuda in the world that isn't tachas memshalas HaKadosh Baruch Hu, so too at least Lasad Lavo, the entire guf will be tachas memsheles haneshama. So nowadays, as we said, there's this struggle, right? Our guf wants something, our neshama wants something else. We wouldn't say that our guf is tachas memsheles haneshama. Lasad Lavo, in Olam Haba, that will not be the case. Ramban says that it's even more. What now we see through our eyes, then we'll see through our neshama. Now, we have to, again, try to understand a little better what this means, which we'll do. The Ramban here says that that is similar to a madrega which Moshe Rabbeinu reached on even this world. Kasher yasu shar neviim bihisbatel aguf vihispashei tanefesh mikochosav shiyetzal alea ruach hakodesh v'tireh b'ros atzma kasher yireh michal o gavriel v'hi ha'ariya ham'itis v'ashmiya hanechona. In other words, again, now we think of seeing as seeing with our eyes and hearing as hearing with our ears. No, the ri'ya ha'mitis is through the neshama. Now, and finally, so let's try to understand this a little better, and then I'll take your question. The Iker Nekuda, which we're going to see throughout today, relates to who we are. The Rambam understands that who we are is our soul, and therefore the aspect of us that will achieve Nitzchius is our soul. And there's no need for the guf in Nitzchius. The guf holds us back. The Ramban says, no. Who are we? We are our entirety, right? We said before, well, sometimes our guf desires this and our neshama desires this. Well, who are we, right? Sometimes our yetzer hara, our yetzer tov, who are we? So this machlokas between the Ramban and the Rambam really gets down to that question. And therefore, who's going to exist in eternity? For the Ramban, in a certain sense, and we'll develop this, but in a certain sense, if you were to take the approach of the Rambam, that it's only the neshama that exists eternally, so then part of us does not continue to exist. And this basic question gets to the heart of, as we'll see when we read more inside, what the nature of the guf, or how we're supposed to look at our guf even now as it exists. So we'll first describe a couple more of the rayos that the Ramban brings and some technical details, and then we'll try to, again, be ma'amik a little more as to what he means. Yeah.
When we say guf here, are we referring to like some kind of like a real guf, or just to highlight the question, if that is what we mean, then how would that like just as an opinion, how would that accord with like the Ramban's comments, the environment on Yibro, the notion of guf and neshama, Kabbalistic notion of guf and neshama?
Okay, so hopefully we'll address both those. But yes, it seems like he's talking about our actual physical body, Gidin Vatsamos. In terms of how it relates to Gilgul Neshamos, so I'm not going to get into that so much. The Ramban doesn't get into it. He says, this relates to the Soda Ivor. He doesn't tell you what the Soda Ivor is. So but these are nistaros that we don't really understand. But it is an interesting question. The Ari spends some time actually asking the question which guf will be restored if there are many if there are many serious nefesh to come today. Wow.
What else did I get?
I hear. So if there are many neshamos many gufim associated with a single neshama. Can't say I understood his answer, but if you want, it's in Shari Kedusha, Shari Gilgulim, Perek Dalet, Section 3. And it relates to basically the it's only the parts of the neshama that were misukun that are going to come back. So I would classify that as a technical question. to which there's an answer, which since we probably won't understand anyway, we won't give it, but it's an important question. Yeah. Yes, the Olam HaNeshamos will continue through Yemos HaMashiach, but absolutely, it exists now, right? Right, because there's no need for the Olam HaNeshamos because there's Tchias HaNesiv. Exactly correct. Yeah.
What is Yemos HaMashiach?
Yemos HaMashiach is soon, Be'ezus Hashem, this month. Mashiach's going to come, we're going to have Kibbutz Galios, we're going to move back to Eretz Yisrael, the Beis HaMikdash will be rebuilt, there'll be no more tzaras, there'll be world peace. There's actually a little more for the Ramban. There's a major dispute between the Ramban and the Rambam about what Yemos HaMashiach is, but there's no need to consider that at present. But even the Ramban, who interestingly says that Yemos HaMashiach, there doesn't seem to be Bechir anymore, and everybody does that which is right naturally, it's not a schar of zman, a schar of onish. Even so, it's still fundamentally part of Olam Hazeh. In other words, certainly for the Rambam, Yemos HaMashiach is Olam Hazeh, that's Mesukan, right? And even though Ramban says there is a more fundamental shift from Olam Hazeh to Yemos HaMashiach, still fundamentally, it's a this-worldly experience. Okay. So, one of the interesting questions is that there's a number of Mekoros that indicate that there will be Tchias HaMesim during Yemos HaMashiach. Just one example, the Gemara on Daf Hayam and Beis and Yoma talks about Moshe and Aaron helping us answer certain questions and build the Beis HaMikdash, according to Tosos, remind us not to mess up in certain things. So Bishlam, if you learn like the Rambam, as we'll see shortly, that Yemos HaMashiach, that Tchias HaMesim will probably take place by Yemos HaMashiach, so I understand the Mekoros that talk about Tchias HaMesim during Yemos HaMashiach, but according to the Ramban, that's problematic. So a number of Rishonim in the school of the Ramban, the Ritva says this explicitly in Tainis on Lamed Amid Beis, the Radvaz claims that this is the view of the Ramban as well, that there will actually be two Tchias HaMesim. The first Tchias HaMesim will be for the righteous, and that will take place during Yemos HaMashiach. And presumably the purpose of that Tchias HaMesim is to allow the tzaddikim to experience Yemos HaMashiach. And then the second Tchias HaMesim, which will be for Kol Yisrael, like we say, Kol Yisrael Yishlom Chelek Olam Haba, will take place at the end of the period of Tchias HaMesim, at the end of the period of Mashiach, and usher in Olam Haba. The Ramban explains, who says that?
Yeah.
The Ritva, the Radvaz, Bidas HaRamban, and others. I'll mention them in a minute. The Ritva says that's the Pshat in Chazal that says, Kol HaMisavel al Yerushalayim Zocha V'Roa V'Simchasa. So when will they be Zocha V'Roa V'Simchasa? There have been many tzaddikim who have died, who are certainly Misavel al Yerushalayim, but were never Zocha Liros B'Simchasa. And if you say Tchias HaMesim doesn't take place till after Yemos HaMashiach is over, so then when would that take place? The answer is it takes place during the first Tchias HaMesim. So Rav Sadia Gaon also takes this approach that there's going to be two Tchias HaMesim, as does Sadia Gaon is in the seventh section of the Emunos Vedeos Yismarech. The Ibn Ezra and Daniel Yud Beis Beis says it. There's a little difference. Rav Sadia Gaon thinks that those resurrected during the Messianic era will not die. In other words, they'll continue to live until Olam Haba. And according to Rav Sadia Gaon, according to Ibn Ezra, they'll die, and then once again they'll be resurrected during Tchias HaMesim. Okay, so those are details. Now, the first question that we really need to consider is, how does the Ramban know that this will be true? How does the Ramban know there'll be a physical body during Olam Haba? Or to put it a little differently, the Rambam is aware of this possibility. And the Rambam, as we said, says that in Olam Haba we have no physical body. And the Rambam says, how do I know there's no physical body in Olam Haba? Because Chazal tell us what Olam Haba is like. There's no Achila, there's no Shtia, there's no Tashu Shamita, Tzadikim, Yoshim, Matrosim, Roshim, and Enem Ziv Ashchina. So what need is there for a physical body, right? If Olam Haba is all about spiritual attainments, Kirva to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, intellectual understanding impossible, hitherto forth, so what need is there for a guf? That's the hachreach of the Rambam. The Rambam would probably acknowledge that there are rayos against him, but there's a simple svara that supports him. So how does the Ramban know that he's wrong? How does the Ramban know there will be a guf in Olam Haba? So the Ramban writes that we know this in three ways. Number one, Mesorah, like that passage we saw earlier from the Ramah, Lemaisa, we know about Olam Haba primarily through Mesorah, and this is part of the Mesorah that we have. Number two, the Ramban says, is that the Gemara tells us this. For example, we mentioned before the Gemara says, the Mishnah says, Ha'omer ein chiyas meisim in ha-Torah ein lo chelek olam haba, and the Gemara says, why? Hu kafar ba, he was kofar in chiyas meisim, l'chfikach lo yelo chelek ba, he won't have a chelek in olam haba. Now that clearly equates chiyas meisim in olam haba. And the Ramban brings a number of other Gemaras, primarily from Perek HaChelek, as does the Ramah, that show that Chazal, at least Bepashtos, did indeed equate Olam Haba and Tchias HaMesim. And finally, the Ramban says that we know this actually from Scripture, from the Pshuto Shel Mikra. Why? The story of Adam and Chava in Parshas Bereishis implies that had Adam and Chava not sinned, had they not eaten from the Eitz Hadas Tov Hara, then they would have been able to eat from the Eitz HaChayim, the Chayli Olam. That's the Pshuto Shel Mikra. Chayli Olam means they would live forever. In what sense? With their physical bodies, right? So the story of Sefer Bereishis and the Eitz HaChayim tells us that the Chayim Liolam is a Chayim Beguf V'Neshama. That was what was supposed to happen originally. We messed up. We ate from the Eitz Hadas Tov Hara. Memela, there needed to be a tikkun in Olam Hazeh and the Mos HaMashiach and the Gan Eden and Gehenim and the like. But eventually, we're going to get back to that level where we are able to experience Olam Haba. And in fact, if you look over there in Bereishis, the Ibn Ezra is bothered by this question. He notes that it's pretty clear from the Psukim that Olam Haba will be eternal existence with the Guf and the Neshama. And he's bothered by that. He says, well, maybe not. And the Ramban points out that the hesitation of the Ibn Ezra to assume this is because of a scientific point, that anything physical eventually breaks down, there's a law of entropy and the like. And the Ramban says, no, that we who believe in Riya Yesh Me'ayin believe that there is no such limitation, that essentially, at least from the Ibn Ezra's perspective, the netiyah to reject this idea of the eternal life of guf plus neshama together is coming from a scientific objection which is fundamentally at odds with the notion of Riya Yesh Me'ayin. And the Ramban writes that, so what will the nature of the guf and the neshama be in Olam Haba? So like we said, there'll be no tension. And because there's no tension, there's no need for death. The reason or the need for the separation of the body and soul at the Ptira is because of the tension between the two. The Ramban, as we saw actually earlier, writes, that's why great tzaddikim don't need to die in the classical sense. When we say Eliyahu ascended to heaven without his body separating from the soul, what we're saying is that if a person reaches a madrega where there is no such tension between Gufan and Neshama, then even before Tchias HaMesim, he could essentially experience that type of unity. The Ramban also actually writes that Moshe reached this level. He says that's why, you know, when the Ramban writes about the uniqueness of Nevuas Moshe over other prophets, so he writes about how other prophets, they shaked and they couldn't stand up and all sorts of, they couldn't prophesy during the daytime, and even though Ramban agrees that they could prophesy during the daytime, but still there was a tension. So why is it that they shook, and why is it that they fell down, and why is it that it was a difficult experience? Because there was resistance. In other words, their guf expressed resistance to the absolutely spiritual experience of prophecy. And that's why the Ramban says, and the Rambam writes as well, that when it came to Moshe Rabbeinu, so he could speak to HaKadosh Baruch Hu pal peh, there was no physical resistance. He didn't collapse. He didn't shake and shudder. It didn't have to be by night. It could be during the day. and so on and so forth. Why? Because he achieved a madrega where there was no tension, and memela, there was no shaking. And in fact, the Rambam and the Ramban both assume, interestingly enough, the Rambam writes this in Mor Nevuchim Gimel Nun Aleph, that Moshe's ability to survive at Sinai without food and without water wasn't a nace. We sort of think, great nace. Moshe Rabbeinu lived 40 days and 40 nights without water. No. The answer is that Moshe Rabbeinu had achieved a madrega where, because his neshama was totally dominant over the guf, so there was no need for food and drink. In other words, just like in Olam Haba, there won't be a need for food and drink. That's not going to be a nace. That's natural, right? Even though there's going to be a guf, there's no need for achila v'shtia. Moshe reached such a madrega. That's why they explain that Eliyahu wasn't there yet, so before he went up to Chol Rev, HaKadosh Baruch Hu told him you should eat and drink and get ready. Moshe Rabbeinu reached such a madrega where, again, on Olam Haba, that was capable. It's an interesting question that many of the Mefarshim deal with. Why did Moshe actually even have to die? In other words, if we just said Eliyahu was able to go up to Shamayim, Gufin and Neshama together, and an idea that you've seen a number of Mefarshim is, or let's say Avram, Yitzchak, Yaakov, Moshe, Aaron, David, right? Why Eliyahu Dafka? Maybe Chanoch as well. And Bekitzer Nimratz, though again this is also a bigger issue, but it's a yesod in understanding these figures, is that because they had such an important role to play in Olam Hazeh, so they could not reach such a madrega while they were here. Moshe Rabbeinu reached that madrega when he was at Sinai, right? 40 days, 40 nights, no eat, no drink. But Moshe Rabbeinu had to go down from the mountain. He had to lead Klal Yisrael. David HaMelech, Avram, Yitzchak, and Yaakov, they had a role to play on this world, which was such that they had to be connected to the world. Eliyahu, in a certain sense, this might have been part of HaKadosh Baruch Hu's critique against him, tried to leave this world while even being on this world. So he had the ability to taka do that, ultimately, but because of that, he couldn't fully be memali his tafkid in Olam Hazeh. So he had to leave. He was dismissed early. Now, that was an incredible madrega. So all these sources, and sort of once you understand this basic concept, you'll see manifestations of this idea all over the place in the Rishonim's discussions of Nevuah and Olam Hazeh, Olam Haba, and the like. Okay. So the Ramban then explicitly does have to address the question of the Rambam, which is what purpose does the guf play? Why do you need Tchiyas HaMeisim? So the Ramban, we're on page 8 here, where it says, why is there guf according to Ramban? So he acknowledges the difficulty of the question. V'im tashiv aleinu behayos haguf mechubar mekli hashimosh lepu'ulos hanefesh l'shlosha chalakim shizkiru anshi ha'ion v'im klei amazon v'klei azera v'klei tikun haguf v'aguf bechlalo tzorech mitziuso haya b'avur tachlis achas v'hi achilas amazon l'kiyum haguf u'lohol ha'dimyono. In other words, the philosophers, the scientists have told us that the human body consists or serves various organic functions. So there's the organs of the food, in other words, digestive system, there's the organs of procreation, there's the organs that, I don't know, somehow cause a well-balanced body, right? So now, why do we need, to put it bluntly, the Ramban is saying, why do we need a digestive system in Olam Haba if we're not going to eat and drink? Why do we need organs of procreation if there's not going to be Tashmish Amita? HaKadosh Baruch Hu does not make anything for nothing. So what purpose do these serve? And as we said, the Ramban here is addressing the Rambam's question. This was the kasha that the Rambam asked on the Ramban. So, the Ramban first gives a more technical answer. Ki haisa habriya zos lizman tchias hameisim letzorech hashimushim hanizkarim. Ve'en HaKadosh Baruch Hu wrote it bevitula achrechein. Maybe it's like this. Originally, at the moment of tchias hameisim, these organs are necessary. But once Olam Haba begins, they're not. Now, why is that? So I think what he might mean, he sort of develops this a little better in the drasha of Rosh Hashanah, is that the resurrection will take place immediately before the Yom HaDin HaGadol VaHaNora. And as we mentioned before, that din has to take place as we are now. Right? Remember we quoted the Gemara that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is Mechaber, the Guf VaNefesh, and He judges us. So that din takes place upon us as we existed in this world. So therefore, the Tchias HaMeisim demands that we be fully restored as we once existed. That will then lead into the existence of Olam Haba, and at that point, HaKadosh Baruch Hu isn't mevata what's already been created. But then the Ramban says a more fundamental answer, va'od, yesh b'tzura hazos sodos amukim ki lo haisa hayitzira al zeh admus hefker ulelo tam rak letzorech gadol uletam anechbad ve'haoso yisborach rotze b'kiyumo. The Ramban says here a very important yesod, which is that the Rambam's question is sort of coming from a perspective, a biological, physiological perspective of the guf. The guf is here to serve certain purposes, our hands to feel, to write, to pick, to touch, our digestive system to break down the foods we eat, and so on and so forth. And you're right. If you take a purely biological perspective to the guf, then it's taka very surprising that we would want to have a guf li'olam li'olmei olamim. However, that's not the true perspective of what the purpose of the guf is. The guf is much deeper. If you remember a couple of weeks ago, the Ramban, for example, discussed this when he discussed the avod of the kiur, right? He writes about how the hands and the feet, the hands are the 10 spheros, and when they're above, and the sphere, the ten toes below, and the two bris in the middle, the bris of the pen, the bris of the other bris milah, and so on and so forth. There's whenever you see Ramban frequently and others frequently tell us that that there's much more to the guf than simply its biological purpose. The Zohar, as we mentioned earlier in the year, derives this from the pasuk in Iyov, Mibsari achazel oka, that when I look at my basar, I see God. Meaning to say, through examining the human body, a person could have an understanding of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And that's why when you look at Taras HaSod, so much of the descriptions of HaKadosh Baruch Hu relate to a parallel of HaKadosh Baruch Hu kaviyachol to a human being. Right? Different parts. A picture everybody likes to look at. Right? All those things. So that's because, right, HaKadosh Baruch Hu Kiilu has right and left, up and down, hands and feet, upper and lower. That's the sodos of Maaseh Merkava. Obviously, those descriptions of HaKadosh Baruch Hu don't reflect his true essence, as we said before. But our ability to understand HaKadosh Baruch Hu could be carried out through Mibsari Achazel Loka. And that being the case, so because there are these deep secrets to the human body, so memela, these will be expressed clearly in Olam Haba. The way the Maharal puts it, if you take a look right below here, from Tiferes Yisrael, Perek Dalid, ki al tachshov kemo shechashvu k'tas b'nei Adam v'hem harofim ki ha'ivarim shel Adam hem tiviyim kemo shar ba'alei chayim ki ein adavar kach klal lo yadu be'emes tawar ha'adam ve'ivarav shekulo Elohi shenemar nase Adam b'tzalmenu. What is the sod of nase Adam b'tzalmenu? So you look at the Rambam in Mor Nevuchim in the first parak, and I'll tell you what he thinks it means. But the Amkos, says the Maharal, is that Taka Adam is b'tzalem Elohim, and that relates to the kedusha that's apparent in the human body.
Ulefikach mispar hamitzvos shehem shleimus haadam kemispar ivarav
Shem gam kein shlemos umaylas ha'adam achu betzalem elokim al yedei ramach evarav. Why is it that ramach evarav are connected the mitzvos? What are Chazal telling us when they say that there's a parallel between ramach and shesa and the mitzvos ha'Torah? What they're telling us is that the physical organs of the body are more than just physical organs. And this, again, is beyond the scope of today's shiur, but this also relates to a very fundamental debate as to how to understand mitzvos that relate to the guf. For example, how do you understand the mitzvah of Simchas Yontif? The differing perspectives that the Ramban has and the Rambam has, for example, to Tashmish Amita and the like. Is that something that can be a means to achieving Kedusha and Tara, or is it a Stira by definition? All of these questions really get down to the basic issue of what is the nature of the physical body, will it exist in Olam Haba, and the like. Rabbeinu Bachya, you see it here below, adds an additional dimension as to the purpose of the guf in Olam Haba. The im tiksha v'tomar shiyu akelim levatala enan levatala me'achar shem mekablim haschar v'atainug beguf uvenefesh yachdav k'shem shishtadlu b'kiyum ha-mitzvos v'tarchu bahen ke'echad beguf uvenefesh. It makes sense that if the guf and the nefesh together worked, were torech b'mitzvos, that they should be rewarded together. And again, this gets back to that fundamental question that we referred to earlier, is who are we? Are we our soul, or are we our guf plus nefesh? Now then, the Ramban deals with a technical problem again. One second, Olam Haba is eternal. Doesn't the guf break down? Every physical body, right, the second law of thermodynamics, there's entropy. So v'im tiksha aleinu, says the Ramban, kiyum haguf min ashfalim liolam, kfar hashivunu eilecha ki kiyum haguf yeah, b'kiyum ha-nefesh, b'kiyum ha-nefesh b'hisyachda b'das elyon v'ha-miskayim yeah, k'mikayim b'hisyachdo bo. In other words, the spiritual soul will nourish the physical body and thereby allow it to live forever. We know that even though entropy is a law in this world, to the extent that there's a kesher to Ruchnius, so the laws of entropy can be violated. Moshe Rabbeinu can exist at Har Sinai 40 days and 40 nights without food and drink. That's the yesod of the Snebo Erba Eishveinu Okal. It's the yesod of the Ner Ma'aravi, and that was why at the close of prophecy, HaKadosh Baruch Hu once more did that nes with the nes of Hanukkah. And the Ramban then proves this. He continues from the idea of the Eitz HaChayim in Parshas Bereishis. And the Ramban ultimately concludes with the following: V'im da'osenu lo yasigu b'chakira hazos me'ezet tzad ti amida zo, aval namin shehukein ki abore osa yisbarach shemo yodea misodos hanefesh umahusa yoser michachmosenu. So in the end of the day, we won't actually fully understand this. And we shouldn't be surprised, like we saw earlier, kolon neviim lo nisnavu el yimos ha-mashiach. Why? Because yimos ha-mashiach is a this-worldly experience. But olam haba ein lo rasa. That we won't, in our current state of affairs, really be able to appreciate the nature of olam haba, the purpose of the guf plus the nefesh in olam haba, how you could have a totally spiritual existence but still have the need for a guf and the like. If you look at the top of page 9, the Ramchal in Das Tfunos elaborates on a number of these points. Again, maybe we'll skip it today, but like he explains a lot of the ideas that the Ramban says that we just saw about how, for example, HaNeshama he levada sholetas umoshalas lagamrei b'shelotia shum shlita laguf klal, and the change in the nature of between a neshama and a guf. Now this brings us to when we sort of consider the history to the next point. So the Gemara says that that the world will be destroyed for a 1,000-year period. Take a look at page 19. Sanhedrin Sadizayin Amar Aleph Amar Rav Ketina Shis Alfei Shanei Havu Alma V'Chad Charov Shenemar V'Nizgav Hashem Levado Bayom Hahu. In other words, Levado, the Gemara understands to mean that there'll be nothing else, and that's a reflection of the world being destroyed. So what exactly does this mean? So the Rashba in Chuvos has a long Chuva about this, in the Chelek Aleph Simen Tess. He thinks that that doesn't necessarily mean the world will utterly be destroyed. The Rambam and Mor Nevuchim and the Meiri say the same thing. But what is the purpose of this? So the Mefarshim explain that this destruction of the world is Kilu, the world rebooting. And it's a transitional stage between Olam Hazeh and Olam Haba, which we could now understand its purpose in light of the way the Ramban set up the whole history. The reason why the Rambam denies this, among other things, is because it plays no role in his scheme. Let's take a look. Again, we're running out of time, but a bit of a Havana on page 20 from the Derech Hashem. I'll just read it in English. It's a little quicker. So besides the kilkel that resulted from eating from the Eitz Hadas, justice decreed that neither man nor the world will ever be able to rise to perfection while still in their current state, because they remain in this spoiled, non-ideal condition, and evil in the meantime has increased. Both must go through a stage of destruction before either can arrive at perfection. So just like we saw the Ramban write, that after humans ate from the Eitz Hadas Tova Ra, after that kilkel, it was impossible for them to live forever. HaKadosh Baruch Hu said they can no longer eat from the Eitz HaChayim. So they needed to go about a tikkun, and that tikkun is our existence on this world, plus the tikkun of the neshama, which takes place in the Olam HaNeshamos, the guf, the Gan Eden and Gehenim. So too, the actual world needs this tikkun. So the guf, as it were, is destroyed, it decomposes, and the like. So that's the purpose of this Churban Ha'olam that the Gemara describes. So the Ramchal continues, man must therefore die, and everything else that was corrupted with him must also perish. The soul cannot purify the body until the body dies and deteriorates and a new structure is composed, and the soul can enter and purify. The entire world must likewise be destroyed and cease to exist in its present form, and it must be renewed in a state worthy of perfection. Now that's why, by the way, that the Gemara says that tzaddikim don't necessarily decompose to the same degree as other people do, because there's no need for that decomposition, because their guf wasn't tainted on this world. Or as we said before, there wasn't the same level of stira between the guf and the neshama such that it would be necessary for the body to be reconstituted. It was therefore decreed that man should die and then be brought back to life. This is the concept of Tchias HaMesim. Similarly, the entire world must be destroyed and then renewed. So when the Gemara tells us that the world will be destroyed and then renewed, it's basically saying that just like us, we're destroyed in the sense of death and then renewed ultimately at Tchias HaMesim. So the same process is necessary for the world. Now, does everybody agree with this idea that the world will be destroyed? So the Ravid in Hilchos Tshuva, Perek Ches, Halacha Ches, notes that it sounds like the Rambam doesn't agree with this Yisod. Amar Avram, Nira kemachis she'en ha'olam chozer letova bo, v'akadosh baruch hu mechadish olamo, v'amru shisa alfei shanin havei alma v'chadchar, v'nimtza shu olam chadash. It would seem from the way the Rambam sets up the system that he doesn't agree to this concept. And the Ravid L'chor was correct. He was medayik in the Mishnah Torah, but in the Mor Nevuchim, the Rambam more or less says this explicitly. The Rambam writes, why is it that he rejects this idea of the world being destroyed? So take a look on... we'll see page 11. You know what? I didn't really fully include this. I'll just read it to you. The notion towards which we have been driving, namely that the passing of the world, a change of the state in which it is, or things changing its nature, and with that permanence of this and with that permanence of this change, are not affirmed in any prophetic text or any statement of the sages either. Now the Rambam then says, well, how does he deal with the Gemara, Rav Ketina? So in Mor Nevuchim 2:29, he first says maybe that doesn't mean utter destruction. In other words, there'll be, giant earthquake or a meteor or something like that, but not utter destruction. And then he says, and even more what he thinks seems to be his Iker answer, is that Rav Ketina's view is not the universal view of Chazal. He writes, when the Talmud states that the world will be destroyed, this is the saying of an individual that corresponds to a certain manner of thinking. Now, basically what he's saying is Rav Ketina was a Das Yachid, and we don't paskin that way. Now, the question is, that the Rashba says, is how could you say that? It's the Rashba in Tshuva writes, is not a single dissenting opinion in all of Chazal. So if there's no machlokas, how could you just say that's a Das Yachid and everybody else disagrees? This is actually something that the Rambam does in a number of places. Maybe we'll talk about this particular Mahalich another time. Some try to say Reb Nechemya in Rosh Hashanah Lamed Aleph on the base is against Rav Ketina. But the Iker answer that the Rambam says to this is, how do I know Rav Ketina is wrong? Because it's against many psukim, right? In Koheles, we say there's nothing new under the sun. In Paragimel of Koheles, it says that which Hashem does is going to exist forever. Masha haya, hu sheyiyeh, umasha na'asa, hu sheyaseh, ve'ein kol chadash tachas Hashemesh, yadati ki kol asher yaseh Elohim, hu yihyeh li'olam, alav ein losif, v'oso ein legroa. As Rambam basically says that Rav Ketina's view, if you understand it literally at the very least, is against various psukim. And then the Rambam writes that I also have a philosophical objection, which is that to say that the world would be destroyed implies that there's some type of chisaron in it. Our Kadosh Baruch Hu created something that's imperfect. And therefore, if our Kadosh Baruch Hu created something imperfect, that would imply that our Kadosh Baruch Hu is imperfect. And how can that be? And therefore, the notion of the world at least utterly being destroyed is impossible. So what would the Ramban and those who disagree say back? So in terms of the psukim, so I think they would say that, or let's actually say in terms of the philosophical question, so the answer is that actually it was supposed to be this way originally, right? Like the Pshuto Shel Mikra, the Ramban says of Sefer Bereishis, had Adam not been chote with Eitz Hadas Tov Hara, then he would have been able to eat the Eitz HaChayim and Chai Li'olam, and there would have been no need for this whatsoever. Because we were Mekalkel, the Bria, so Memela it needs a Tikkun. That doesn't mean that it was flawed or imperfect. And in terms of the general question, so this relates to the basic difference between how you see Olam Hazeh. Do you see Olam Hazeh as something finite, or do you see it as something infinite? Do you see it as a means to Olam Haba? Not just for the Neshama, like the Rambam did, but in general, or not? So perhaps perhaps with this, we should consider the Rambam's position more generally, and then we'll have an appreciation of this machlokas. So if you take a look on page 9, the Rambam lays out his understanding of Olam Haba. The Rambam understands that Olam Haba currently exists. When we say Olam Haba, it doesn't mean some future existent, like the Ramban says, something that's going to be created, but something that currently exists. And his position is really much simpler. Olam Hazeh, where we are now, when a person dies, so their neshama and their guf separate, and the neshama continues to exist in Olam Haba. Olam Haba exists now, it's entirely spiritual, it will last forever, and the like. And the Rambam writes that how do I know that my understanding of Olam Haba is correct? Because the Gemara Brachos, Olam Haba, Ein bo lo achila, velo shtia, velo piri verivia, velo masu matan, velo kina, velo sina, velo tacharas, ela tzadikim yoshin vatrosim veroshim, v'nenim mizif hashchina. So the Rambam goes ahead and explains how each of these ideas is a metaphor for something else. And he elaborates on each detail in the metaphor. So the fact that we have no achila v'shtia reflects that there's no body, because there's no need for a body if there's no achila v'shtia. When it says tzadikim yoshvim, it refers to an existence that involves no sort of effort, like yeshiva. When it refers to atrosein b'roshehen, it's referring to the knowledge that they acquired on this world through which they merit olam haba. And finally, when it says Nenim Zivashchina, so it means our understanding of HaKadosh Baruch Hu that cannot be achieved as long as a person has a body. Right? So I guess we'll just look at Halacha Beis. Olam Haba Ein Bo Guf V'Gviya Ela Nefashos HaTzadikim Bilvad Bilo Guf Kemalachi HaShareis Ho'ol V'Ein Bo Gvios Ein Bo Lo Achila V'Lo Shtia V'lo davar mikol hadvarim shegufos b'nei adam shichin lahen ba'olam hazeh. V'lo yara davar bo min hadvarim she'me'arin l'gufos ba'olam hazeh. Kigon yeshiva v'amida v'sheina u'misa v'eitzev v'schok u'kiyotze bahen. Kach amru chachamim ha'rishonim, ha'olam haba ein bo lo achila v'lo shtia v'lo tashin shamita al tzadikim yoshim v'nei v'sheim v'sheim v'nei v'zachina. Hare, nisbar l'cha, she'ein sham guf, l'fi she'ein sham achila v'shtia. This is Zesh Amru Tzadikim Yoshvin Derech Chida Amru Kilomar Tzadikim Mitzuyin Sham Belo Amel Velo Yegia V'chol Zesh Amru Atrosem Roshayim Kilomar Das Sheyedu Shebeglala Zachu L'chayolam Haba Mitzuyayman. It stays with them. In other words, the acquired knowledge continues into past our death. V'hi Atar Shalahem. Oh. So because this is the Rambam's understanding of Olam Haba, so there were those who claimed, as you all know, that he denied Tchias HaMesim. Why did they think he denied Tchias HaMesim? It's a pretty ridiculous accusation, especially since he writes that the belief in Tchias HaMesim is one of the Yud Gimel Ikar Yemuna. And someone who denies it is Ein Lo Chelak LeOlam Haba. The answer is because it doesn't make sense within Rambam's scheme. After all, Tchias HaMesim, you know, if you think about it this way, there could be no greater Gehenim than Tchias HaMesim. Here you have the neshama plucked from its idyllic state of communion with the Almighty, brought back down to this world. Now remember, the Rambam said that there's no guf in Olam Haba because the guf inhibits us from understanding HaKadosh Baruch Hu correctly and truly in its most elevated levels possible. So Tchias HaMesim, that's terrible. It doesn't make sense within his scheme. Within the Ramban, I understand the purpose of Tchias HaMesim. Adarabba, Tchias HaMesim is so important because it is Olam Haba. It brings in Olam Haba. But for the Rambam, it doesn't seem to make any sense. So what's the answer? So obviously, the Rambam did believe in Tchias HaMesim. And he restates his belief in his Igeres Tchias HaMesim. So what is it? So the Rambam writes in Igeres Tchias HaMesim, V'chein yira lanu min ha-mamarim ha-heim, she'elu anashim asher yashuvu nafshosam legufos ha-heim, yochlu v'yishtu v'yishgilu v'yolidu, v'yamusu achri chayim aruchim me'od, k'chayim ha-nimtzayim v'yimosa Mashiach. So what will be Tchias HaMesim? The tzadikim, he argues Tchias HaMesim is just for tzadikim, will be resurrected, they'll live a long life, they'll procreate, they'll eat, they'll drink, and they'll eventually die again. But the eternal life is not that which follows Tchias HaMeisim, but Olam Haba. Achar she'en guf bahem. She'anachnu na'amin, v'u ha'emes etzol kol ben da'as she'olam haba nefashus mibli gufos kemalachim. So Tchias HaMeisim is a great miracle that will happen once. When will it happen? Not clear, but it sounds like it'll probably happen b'yamos HaMashiach. This, by the way, doesn't contradict Rambam's theory. The Rambam says there are going to be no miracle, no change in natural order during Yom HaMashiach. It's not a kasha, because a miracle is possible because it's a one-time change. Total change in nature, as the Rambam says, is impossible. It implies a deficiency. It's against those psukim and kohelas. But a one-time nes is okay, just like Kriyas Yamsuf. And that's what Tchias HaMeisim is. Now, the question is, what's its purpose? Right? So if you remember last week, Rostav suggested that the Rambam actually didn't know. The Rambam writes, why didn't I elaborate on Tchias HaMeisim? Those who claim to accuse me of denying Tchias HaMeisim, they said, look, the Rambam is Marech on Olam Haba, but he doesn't say anything about Tchias HaMeisim. The Rambam says, I didn't say anything about Tchias HaMeisim because there isn't much to say. You're resurrected, you live, you die. What's more to say? I didn't elaborate, not because I don't believe in it. But what about its purpose? So he doesn't tell us, the Rambam. Maybe, as Rostav said, he didn't know. The Ramban actually suggests a purpose of Tchias HaMeisim that makes sense according to the Rambam. And that is as follows. If you remember, we saw the Rambam in Hilchos Malachim say, why is it that tzaddikim long for Yamos HaMashiach? Why is it that we want Mashiach so much? He says, Kidei shiyu penuyim b'torah v'chachmasa v'lo yehem lahem noge shumivatel kidei shiyizku l'chayelam haba. Tzadikim long for Yamos HaMashiach because it provides an opportunity to sit and learn, to be engaged in Torah and mitzvot without distractions, and thereby earn Olam Haba, because like we saw earlier, that Olam Haba is a natural consequence of our spiritual achievements on this world. Nowadays, in our current form of existence, we're so frequently distracted. We don't have the time that we wish we did to learn, to do mitzvot and the like. Yamos HaMashiach will finally provide that opportunity. So what does Tchias HaMeisim accomplish? Tchias HaMeisim allows all the tzaddikim to live b'Yamos HaMashiach and thereby experience that opportunity to engage undisturbed in Torah and mitzvos, and thereby naturally receive a much higher level of Olam Haba when they do eventually die. So that's the Yesod. Now, why is it that denial of Tchias HaMeisim is such a bad thing? Bishlam, again, according to Ramban, I understand why, if you're kofir b'Tchias HaMeisim, ein lo chelok b'Olam Haba. But why is that according to Ramban? What's so bad about kfira b'Tchias HaMeisim? Why is it on the Yud Gimel Ikar Yemunah? It is because Chazal said it. It's a Mishnah. But what's the idea behind it? So the answer, I think, if you look at the Rambam carefully, is that why would anybody deny Tchias HaMeisim? One of two reasons, both of which are extremely egregious. Either because you deny HaKadosh Baruch Hu's ability to perform miracles. In other words, you adopt an Aristotelian conception of the universe. And that is a major kfira. Or alternatively, because you deny our Mesorah. In which case, that too is a major fear. So the denial of Tchias HaMeisim is not because, like the Ramban says, Tchias HaMeisim is Olam Haba, and denying Tchias HaMeisim is denying Olam Haba, like the Gemara says. But simply, why would it be somebody denies Tchias HaMeisim? Either they reject the possibility of Nisim, or they reject the Mesorah. And accordingly, the Mishnah says, Ha'omer ein Tchias HaMeisim in HaTorah, ein lo chelok Olam Haba. There's one last thing that we should discuss in the Rambam, but alas, we're out of time. I'll just point it out, and I guess we'll get to it next time, and we'll finish up the sugya, and that is the Rambam's focus on intellectual achievements in his description of Olam Haba. That's something that I think many of us probably find problematic, and we'll try to explain that next time. Okay, everyone should have a good Shabbos and a Chag Kasher V'Sameach.